You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina, coming to you after what turned into a wild, unexpected weekend for the New York Giants as they trimmed their roster to 53 players, then made some changes to that roster on Sunday, some highly unanticipated changes, including the waiving of second-year quarterback Davis Webb. So, you know, we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll be talking about Webb a lot. Patty, wild, unexpected, exhausting weekend. You know, my head is spinning from the Davis Webb news and from everything else the Giants did.
My gosh, I don't think in all the years I have been doing this, I have ever seen a weekend quite like this before. But you know what? It's a new sheriff in town with Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur, and they are intent on building this team in their image. And you know what? When they're coming off of a 3-13 season, as this team is, anybody is vulnerable. I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, if you were part of last year's problem, you shouldn't sleep in knowing that you have a roster spot locked up. And we unfortunately saw that this week.
Patty, you know, it was funny because I know you didn't see this coming and I didn't see the Davis Webb cut coming either. But when you look at it, you know, you sort of hinted at exactly, you know, what I keep thinking about here. This is not, you know, Jerry Reese's show anymore. This is what happens when you get a new regime in place. They want their own people. I mean, we said going way back to when Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur were hired that Davis Webb had an extreme uphill battle, you know, to prove to the Giants, you know, not only that he could be the backup quarterback, maybe the heir apparent, whatever, but that he, you know, to just make the roster to begin with. And, you know, he seemed to have turned that corner and proven himself to the Giants brass. You know, at least we thought he had, but obviously, you know, we were mistaken. So, I mean, when push comes to shove, this can't be, you know, this can't be that big of a surprise because he was never their guy. He wasn't their choice.
No, he wasn't. But you know what? The more I look at this, I go back to something that Pat Shurmur said back in the spring. I think it was around the draft time. And he rattled off a list of things he looks for in a quarterback. And, you know, everybody talked about arm strength of Davis Webb and whatnot. And arm strength was actually, I think, item number 4 on Shurmur's priority list. And, you know, he looked for decision making. I think he looked for leadership and so on and so forth. And I just wonder, you know, I'm as we record this, I'm just getting started in my analysis of this and trying to get answers. And obviously, I want to hear what Shurmur has to say, you know, later today when he speaks to the media. But I just wonder if, you know, because they scouted Lauletta as, you know, a little bit more detail. You know, Shurmur mentioned that they did scout Webb when he was coming out of college, but you kind of got the impression that they didn't really do as much due diligence on him as maybe they did with Lauletta. And you know, just you wonder if maybe he saw something in the two quarterbacks. You know, Lauletta's just been a picture of calmness. You know, he went in there, the game never looked too big for him, made this, you know, proper decisions and whatnot. And you just wonder if maybe, I don't know, Davis Webb's personality. And he's a great kid, don't get me wrong, but maybe, you know, he was a little too hyped up, a little too forceful. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, I do know I'm going to be sitting here and I'm going to be dissecting this probably for the next couple of days.
Patty, you know, as I've tried to digest this whole thing, I keep going back to a couple of things. Part of it is what you know, inferred. I mean, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur drafted Kyle Lauletta. He is their choice. You know, and as you said, they keep, you know, Shurmur indicated, you know, that arm strength is well down the list of things that he looks for in a quarterback. You know, obviously it's an important part, you know, being able to make the throws. But I remember Thursday night after the preseason game against the Patriots, I sat in Pat Shurmur's press conference, and, you know, Lauletta had played so-so in that game. You know, he made a few throws that perhaps could have been completed, you know, 50-50 balls, and had a couple that were dropped. And interestingly, the guys who dropped those particular passes are no longer on the roster. But I just came away from that press conference thinking, you know, wow, forget the numbers. Pat Shurmur really likes this kid. He really likes Kyle Lauletta. And I, you know, as I thought about the web cut, I kept coming back to that. And the other thing, you know, I keep seeing on Twitter, you know, why would the Giants choose Alex Tanny over Davis Webb? And for me, I don't think this was a choice between Alex Tanny and Davis Webb. This was a choice that the Giants made between Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta. Alex Tanny is a veteran guy who can help Eli Manning, you know, in the quarterback room. He can help Kyle Lauletta. He's only played in one NFL game, but he's been around. He's been in the league for I think 6 years. He's been with a bunch of different teams. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's a veteran guy, despite the lack of actual playing time. So for me, this wasn't a choice about Alex Tanny. This was a choice about which one of the two young quarterbacks they wanted to keep on the roster.
Right. And as you mentioned, you know, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur drafted Lauletta. So, you know, they weren't necessarily going to cut him. I mean, that would have been kind of foolish, but still, just Tanny didn't play that well. And I know I've said this before. I said it during the game as well. This is probably the best quarterback's depth that this team has had, and I can't tell you when. I think we would have to go back to the days of Sims, Hostetler, and Rutledge to you know, get this type of depth. And it, to me, I don't know, it was just kind of surprising because Webb looked like he did everything the right way. You know, he went about it. He left nothing to chance. But, you know, in the end, you know, I know there's been conspiracies. There's been theories, you know, was he a right fit for this offense, for example? You know, was there a personality conflict or something? I mean, there are all kinds of theories floating down about there. Bottom line is what, and I think you hit this, when you listen to Shurmur talk, it's like he just promoted Lauletta every opportunity he got. And while he also had good things to say about Webb, there was always that but factor in there. You know, he was good, but he could be better, you know. And I just think that, you know, you kind of got the impression, especially when Shurmur said, I haven't set my depth chart yet at quarterback. You kind of got the impression that, gee, maybe something's up here.
Patty, you know, the other thing that I think we have to talk about, I'm sure you've seen it in your Twitter timeline. I've seen it in my Twitter timeline quite a bit. The whole, you know, why didn't the Giants trade Webb? Why couldn't they get anything for him, you know, if they weren't going to keep him? You know, and what it comes down to, I think Pro Football Talk had the numbers on this. Pro Football Talk reported that among the players who were cut on Saturday, as teams went from 90 to 53 players, there were 34 quarterbacks cut by NFL teams. That means that there were a lot of guys, you know, probably in similar situations to Davis Webb, guys with more experience than Davis Webb, guys who might be proven backups. there's a lot of guys out there for NFL teams, you know, who wanted to bring in a young quarterback. I think one of the teams that might have been interested in Davis Webb was Miami, and they chose to pick up Luke Falk on waivers. There's just such a volume, such a glut of quarterbacks out there that teams can pick up without giving up any resources. There was no reason for any team to trade for Davis Webb, to give up a draft pick for a kid who's never played in a game, for a kid who really has no pedigree, you know, nothing to show NFL teams as to, you know, what he can bring there. So this is why, you know, I think they're simply, although there were probably talks, I think we know there were some talks, the Giants probably looked as much as they could. There just was never really going to be a market.
Yeah, and you know, I also look at the rumor that Oakland was interested in. Oakland traded for A.J. McCarron. I think they gave up a fifth-round pick. So you got to ask yourself, you know, what exactly were the Giants looking for as far as compensation if they were indeed looking to trade Webb? You know, and I would think if, you know, Oakland got their backup quarterback on a fifth, you know, for a fifth-round draft pick, you got to think that the Giants wanted at least, a fourth or higher.
And they were never going to get that for Davis Webb. I mean, you got to be realistic. He's a kid in his second year, you know, who's never taken a snap. He's got a big arm, but realistically, nobody knows what else he has. I mean, he did some good things. We know he works hard. We know that he tremendously improved his fundamentals, you know, during the off season, but. But nobody has, you know, because he didn't get to play last year, you know, nobody knows what he is. So why would you give up resources when there's so many other quarterbacks on the market that you can get without giving up a pick?
Yeah, you know, I hate to keep going back to last year, but the previous coaching staff really screwed this kid. I mean, there was absolutely no reason why they couldn't put him in to a regular season game, especially when the season was lost. And it just continues to blow my mind. Even if he wasn't ready, you know, and I know I made this argument, but I also said that I felt that the coaching staff was trying to save their bacon. But even if he wasn't ready, find out what you have in him. You know, your season's lost anyway. At that point, you're jockeying for a draft, you know, a high draft pick. So I just don't understand, and I'll never understand why they just were so short-sighted like that, especially, you know, like I said, the season was down the toilet. So I just don't understand why they didn't just say, okay, well, let's see what we've got with these young kids and just start focusing on next year.
That's funny, Patty. You used the word toilet, and in the article I did on Web today in Big Blue View, I said that the Giants' season had basically fallen into the Hudson River, and I think some people would probably think they're the same thing, but you know, but the idea when I look at Davis Webb, I find his entire tenure with the Giants to be a strange one. I mean, you go back to. Webb was a third-round pick by Jerry Reese, who had never met or worked out for Ben McAdoo when McAdoo was the coach. So why on earth would the general manager pick a quarterback that the head coach had never seen before? That is very strange to me. The way that Ben McAdoo handled Davis Webb, you know, at some point last year, Ben McAdoo had to realize that the season was down the drain. That the young kids, that Davis Webb had to play. And yet, when push came to shove and he finally, you know, went to bench Eli Manning, you know, he chose Geno Smith, you know, because he hadn't gotten Davis Webb ready to play. I will not blame Steve Spagnuolo for that whole situation. You know, Spags was put in a bad spot. He was put in a spot where basically, you know, he had four games to just do the best he could to try to win a couple games and save his own job. I can't blame Spagnuolo, but, you know, but the whole handling of Webb last year, and then even Shurmur's handling of Webb this year, you know, it giving him almost all of the second team reps and a lot of the first team reps. Maybe a lot of that was about building or trying to build some trade value for Davis Webb. I don't know. But if you want to go with Kyle Lauletta as your backup, I just found even Shermer's handling of Webb, just in terms of the reps that he got, to be curious. So Webb's entire tenure with the Giants goes down as a really, really strange one.
It really is. It's one I've never quite seen handled before. And you know, I feel bad for the kid because, look, he came in here. He was a likable guy. I think we can all agree that you know, nobody in the media and in the fan base thought he was, you know, an idiot or anything like that. You know, he came in here. He was willing to work. You know, he was determined to earn his keep. And just when you're facing that kind of uphill battle and you get swept up in politics, you really don't have a chance, and it's really unfortunate for him.
Yes, it is, Patty. Patty, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, and then we will come back and we will talk about some of the other things that happened this weekend. You know, we could talk about Davis Webb all night. But he obviously is not the only player that got cut. He's not the only move the Giants made. So after a quick break for a word from our sponsor, we'll come back and we'll talk about more of what the Giants did over the weekend. You know, ever since Patty and I started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually that involves what team to bet on. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win the games, but if you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie is your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. We urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for fantasy football players, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim your bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Patty, all I know as we turn away from Davis Webb, all I know is that I would not have laid money on Davis Webb getting cut.
Me either, Ed. I tell you, this is why I don't like doing roster projections. I know fans like to read them, and I know editors like them. I am not a fan of them because nobody ever gets it right. And you could put it together what you think is the most solid argument in defense of your predictions, and when push comes to shove, you're going to end up wrong. And it's, you know, then some people will say, well, you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't know what you're doing. And really, the only people who know are the people who are actually making the decision.
Exactly, Patty. You know, the roster prediction stuff is fun and people like to read it. And, you know, sometimes you just have to give people what they want. And, you know, people like to discuss it. So we give it to them. But, you know, that is probably a good segue into talking about a lot of the rest of the moves that the Giants made. You know, when you consider the waiver claims that they made today, all of the moves that they made today, you know, we had talked about, you hate this. You tell a kid like Josh Banks on Saturday that he has very surprisingly, you know, made the 53-man roster. And on Sunday, you find out that Josh Banks was little more than a pawn in a bigger plan, you know, to make some waiver claims and upgrade the roster. And you hate that part of it. But, you know, but in the end, when push comes to shove, this is a very surprising roster. one that has a lot more change maybe than I think you and I saw coming, and one that very clearly, you know, with you know, getting rid of guys like Andrew Adams and Darian Thompson and Jarrell Adams and Roger Lewis and even Calvin Munson and Mark Herzlich, very clearly says, you know, the Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo, Tom Coughlin era is over with. We're moving forward with our own players, you know, and we're going to try to do this our way.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman know what they have in this roster, but I know for the rest of us, this is significant change. And, you know, I've never personally been afraid of change. I know it's part of life. But when you have this much change, I mean, think about it for a moment. It was, what, only 7 years ago that the Giants won their second Super Bowl in the Eli Manning era? And there are only two guys, Manning and Zach Diossi, left from that team. That's a lot of turnover. You know, you look at the draft picks from Jerry Reese, you know, and all the picks that are no longer on the roster, and you say to yourself, my gosh, you know, what's happened to this team? And I think, you know, what Gettleman and Shurmur are trying to do is they're trying to establish some sort of stability that this organization hasn't had in quite a number of years. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm not sure they even know how it's going to turn out, but certainly there's optimism that they're on the right path.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this, and to this point, you know, we have both liked a lot of what the Giants have done. I mean, we can quibble, you know, with certain moves here and there. I think the entire, you know, New York Giants universe wonders, you know, after the preseason, why the Giants paid Jonathan Stewart the kind of money that they paid him. But all in all, you can see what the Giants are trying to do. You can see that they are all in on Eli Manning for the short term, that they are, you know, they're crossing their fingers that Kyle Lauletta can be a capable NFL quarterback. And if he's not going to be the answer long term, you know, they're banking on Eli for a couple more years and kicking that can down the road. They're going to try to win. They're going to try to win with the players that they think fit their system, that they think fit their locker room, you know, that they think bring what they want to the table. And that means, you know, a guy like Andrew Adams was a popular player. He was popular with the fans. He was easy to talk to for the media. You know, he's a guy that a lot of us didn't understand why he wasn't getting the run in preseason and in training camp that many of us thought he might get. But obviously, you know, you get change when you get new people making the decisions. And, you know, I look at it this way. Not only were the Giants 3-13 a year ago, they've been out of the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. They haven't won a playoff game since the last time they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, so why not make some changes? You know, why not, you know, why be beholden, you know, to a lot of those guys that have been part of that failure, you know, in the past. So this is what you get. You get change, and you should have expected a lot of it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have said to me, you know, when they hired Dave Gettleman, they're like, oh, the Giants, they haven't made the wholesale changes that they promised. Look around, folks. They are making wholesale changes. You know, yes, Gettleman is from a, you know, the earlier regime. I take that back. He did work a little bit under Jerry Reese when Jerry Reese was the general manager. But primarily, Gettleman put in most of his time, if I'm not mistaken, under Ernie Accorsi. And Ernie Accorsi, of course, learned the job under George Young. And George Young was pretty successful, as I recall. So what Gettleman is doing is he's bringing the Giants back to the philosophies that George Young and Ernie Accorsi ran, which made the team so successful. The very same philosophies that Jerry Reese and Mark Frost got away from. So, you know, yeah, there's wholesale changes. And yeah, they went back to the past. But in this case, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No, and we're not going to understand every move that they make, Patty. That's, you know, they have more information. They know more about this than we do. They know what their plan is. It's like, you know, when they kept four quarterbacks on Saturday, everybody's like, what the heck are they doing? And but they had a plan, you know, that they obviously, I think they were hoping to be able to get something in return for Davis Webb. You know, they held out as long as they could before making a move. But we haven't seen a game that counts yet. Let's see where this goes. You know, when it comes right down to it, the Giants, plain and simple, could not continue on the path that they were on for the past few years. They're without question on a new path. That path, obviously, is all in still on, you know, on Eli Manning. But it's a whole different way of putting a supporting cast around him. And obviously, you know, many, many people thought, oh, new coach, new GM, that means new quarterback. They have a different plan, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and if you look at what they've done, they built this team around Eli Manning. You know, he was missing a running game. They got him a running back, a legitimate NFL running back. You know, they upgraded the offensive line, which was a problem. He's getting back his top receiver, who's now locked in for the next 5 or 6 years. He's got two good tight ends. Everything they have done has revolved around Eli Manning. And, you know, that's how you build a roster. You basically build around one key player. Usually it's your quarterback, and that's what they have done here. And, you know, defensively, I think there's still some question marks, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but you know, you've got to give your quarterback the best possible, you know, lineup to win. And then the Giants haven't always done that.
Patty, let's take one more quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show. And I think what we'll do is we'll go back and forth maybe and look at a few of the individual moves that the Giants made, you know, beyond the Davis Webb move, and just talk about, you know, moves that we each found, you know, to be somewhat surprising. So let's do that after we take a quick break. All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Pat Traina here on the latest edition of Locked On Giants. We've talked a whole lot about Davis Webb, about what the Giants have done here with their 53-man roster, and a lot of the change that is taking place, you know, within the Giants roster and within the organization as they try to erase, you know, the awful memory of a 3-13 season. And Patty, you know, we touched on it earlier in the show that this roster includes a lot of surprises. And, you know, beyond Davis Webb, for you, when you look at this roster as it's constructed right now, give me, you know, a couple of your biggest surprises, maybe in either guys who made it or guys who didn't make it.
Wow, I would say the first, I think the obvious surprise was Mark Herzlich. And, you know, Herzlich is a guy, it's interesting. Disclaimer here, when they first signed him as an undrafted free agent back in 2011, I did not like the move. I felt at the time that they were okay with linebacker. I didn't think that, you know, based on, you know, watching him in training camp, I didn't think he would be, you know, effective. You know, I thought he lacked something in speed. Not his fault, you know, after what he went through with the cancer and everything like that. But I just questioned the move. I saw it more as a PR move. And, you know, funny thing happened. Herzlich developed not only into a solid performer, all right, wasn't spectacular, he wasn't going to be mistaken for an all-pro, but he was solid. He was a good special teamer, and he seemed to find a niche as an outside linebacker. And then more importantly, he was a leader in that locker room. And, you know, we talk about leadership, and it's really something that you can't underestimate. Now, with that said, you go back to the 3-13 mix, and you say, okay, well, if you're the GM, you're cleaning everything out as best as possible so that you start fresh. And even though Herzlich was on IR last year, he was still, you know, around the facility and everything like that. So I just found it, you know, strange because I'm saying to myself, what exactly did this guy do? I mean, yes, was he the best linebacker out of the inside candidates? No. But could they have found a role for him? I think they could have, but they apparently have decided to go younger and faster. And, you know, the guys that they did keep, you know, Ray Ray Armstrong, he's been phenomenal. Ty Davis, who they kept, he's been, you know, pretty solid. And I just think, you know, it was surprising because Herzlich was the guy that you kind of thought would be there until he decided he didn't want to be there.
Well, you know, Patty, I think that when push comes to shove here, I think I'm taking the blame for Mark Herzlich not being a Giant anymore. When I did my final 53-man roster projection, and yes, I'm one of those people who did a roster projection every single week during the preseason, and I know you hate me for it, but you know, so be it. You have to feed the beast. In my final roster projection, I had Mark Herzlich making the roster. And truth be told, I kind of knew better, but every single year for the last 4 or 5 years in my final roster projection, I have left Mark Herzlich off the roster, and he keeps making it. And I finally just decided, you know what? If I'm going to be wrong about Mark Herzlich, I'm going to be wrong by giving him credit and putting him on the roster. So I was wrong again about Mark Herzlich, and so the fact that he's not a Giant, I guess, is my fault.
Oh, Ed, what are we going to do with you? You know, funny thing, inside football, we break down every single player who plays, you know, in every game. And the guy that we have who did our linebackers has now, in 2 weeks, has said Mark Herzlich is not going to make this roster. And I'm sitting there going, nah, he's going to make the roster? Come on. And, you know, our guy who did it, Bob Folger, who's a very gifted football analyst. I mean, this guy sees stuff that I don't know where he comes up with it, but he's spot on. And he, by the way, he should have done his own roster prediction because it was that good. But he said, you know, Herzlich has lost, you know, whatever speed he had, which wasn't much to begin with. You know, he just doesn't have what they need in order to be successful. And you got to remember now, it's a different defense, it's a different coordinator, different needs that this guy, you know, James Betcher wants. You know, he wants certain characteristics in his linebackers. And, you know, Bob in his analysis said, look, this guy, Mark, I'm great guy, great story, wonderful human being, but he just doesn't have what we think Betcher wants.
Patty, one of the things that we learned here about Pat Shurmur, I think, is you can get caught up when you watch the preseason games. You can get caught up in which guys are taking the second team reps and which guys are taking the third team reps and all of that, and think, oh, if they're taking the second team reps, that means they're going to make the roster. If they're taking the third team reps, you know, the best shot they've got is to make the practice squad. And we've found out with this roster that wasn't the case at all. Perhaps they were second team because, you know, that was where they had been pegged at the beginning, and it was the best group for them to work with because those were the guys they had been working with, and maybe staying with those groups gave them the best chance of success. I mean, we saw guys who basically got no attention in preseason. I mean, you have to be shocked that a guy like Ty Davis, who got, you know, who was a third, basically third team afterthought as a linebacker, made this roster. Sean Chandler, another undrafted free agent who wasn't, you know, part of that quote unquote four-man free safety competition, really was an afterthought at the safety position, you know, makes the final roster. Evan Brown, a guy that I know you liked, as an undrafted free agent center. And again, a guy who worked with the third and fourth team. He got the scrub playing time, you know, in preseason, you know, with the exception of a good chunk of the final preseason game. You know, I think we would have pegged, you know, most of these guys, even Robert Martin, you know, the undrafted running back from Rutgers. I think we would have pegged most of these guys as practice squad candidates, especially when you look at the way they were played in the preseason. And I think, I don't know about you, but I've learned, you know, after this year with Pat Shurmur, I've learned, you know, to look beyond who's playing second team and who's playing third team, you know, and look for other signs.
Yeah, you know, you raise a good point there, Ed, because when I looked at and started putting together my roster projections, I made the mistake of looking at production, okay, because that's how they've always done it. And how many times have I said, this isn't Jerry Reese at general manager, this isn't Ben McAdoo at head coach, you know, these guys have their own way of doing stuff. And, you know, look, it took some time to kind of, you know, learn how these guys think and how they function. And now we have a better idea. Now we hopefully know better what to look for.
Yes, we do, Patty. You know, it was a very, very surprising roster, as we've said. I think there's probably more changes to come. I still think there could be, you know, an offensive tackle signed somewhere, maybe after week one. There's still, you know, the way I look at it, you know, very heavy on, you know, on inside players when it comes to depth on the offensive line. They chose to go with three tight ends, which is a little bit surprising to me. And when they chose to go with, you know, with three tight ends, the fact that Jarrell Adams wasn't one of them was a little bit surprising to me. But I, you know, I think there's more changes to come. There's a real football game coming up in another week. And, you know, we will be back all week to give you guys, you know, previews and as much information about that as we can. With that said, we'll call it a show for tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.